Chapter 5, where we'll be launching from. 1 John chapter 5. First John 5 and verse 13. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, and we just ask, Lord, your blessing as we meet together, as we look into your word and ponder the things that are written. We just ask, Lord, you would give us a profitable time, and that souls will be encouraged in the Lord. We ask it in Christ's name, for his honor and glory. Amen. Let me first start off by saying, the last thing in the world I like to do is try to teach. I'd say of all my gifts, if I have any others, this is probably not it. But when the situation arises and you're called on to do it, you do it. And you just pray for that something will make sense. So anyhow, I'm going to go to Mark 8:36. I'll just read it for you. It says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So I have a question, and I know you all do this because we all do this. So when you are talking to yourself one-on-one, and the question comes up, how do I know that I am saved? What is your answer? I want you to ponder on that for a while. Thank you, Luke, for being so quick and on the spot to want to answer. We'll put that question in the back of our minds, and we'll look at some other things here. We just read in 1 John that he wrote the words, "So that ye may know that you are saved." As so many people will tell you, well, you just can't know until your life's over. And then, you know, that's too late. And I don't think John agreed with that, since he said, you may know. He's written those things that you may know. Our biggest problem in knowing, I believe, is religion. Everyone has their own ideas and doctrines concerning salvation. Jesus met a Samaritan woman at a well, and when the subject came to religion, she told him she was confused about it all. So let's turn over to John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 3 through 20. You should all probably know this passage fairly well. John 4, verses 3 through 20 says, "He," that's Jesus, "left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." I just love the wording there. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So the experts didn't agree. Some religions miss salvation by a mile. They add a whole nother book to the Bible, some of them, that you have to have. That's a false religion. That's a cult. But you know, there are others that are just so close to getting the gospel right that it sounds good to our ears. But you got to beware, beware, beware. Line everything up with the Word of God. And make sure that what you believe fits this book. Not just parts of the book, but cover to cover the doctrines taught in this book, particularly the doctrine of salvation. I mean, it's an important thing. I know of a lot of folks that have struggled with assurance of salvation to the point where they go to get saved all over again because they're convinced that they didn't do it right the first time, that there's something else they need to do. And that's not the way God wants us to live. And as John said, I wrote these things that you may know. And, you know, Pastor, in the past weeks, have been talking about the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they had a terrible time, didn't they? That's yes or no. Yeah. What were they prone to do? Murmur. Very good. Yeah. And what are we prone to do? Uh-huh. What displeases God? Murmuring. But you look at how God provided for them. They needed water. They got water. They needed food. And they got manna. They got, what is it? It was food. But the manna came with rules. Gather every day only what you need for that day. So what was wrong with stocking up? What was God trying to teach them? Anybody? Faith. Faith. Or, I would put it more along the line of trust. They stocked up and they took some extra because who knows whether this will be here tomorrow or not. We got it right now. Let's get something for later. God didn't tell them to get something for later, did he? He said, get what you need for today. You know how difficult it is to live like that? Imagine if you got up in this morning and you had $6.43 in your bank account and your daily needs came to $6.43. Or any other number you want to put to that. And you say, well, that's fine for today, but what about tomorrow? What about tomorrow? What am I going to do tomorrow? You wake up in the morning, there it is again. I know God doesn't work that way now, but that's exactly how they worked. It worked with the manna. They had to trust God. And then lo and behold, on the Sabbath day, there wasn't any but what they had gathered on the sixth day. A little extra didn't go bad. It was there for them. They had to learn to trust God day by day by day by day. If you go back and start looking through the Old Testament, so many of the stories come down to, do you trust God? You look in the New Testament, so much of it is trusting God. Simply trusting every day. Trusting when you don't understand what's next. The Bible says, trusting Jesus, that is all. The Bible, the song says, simply trusting every day. Trusting Jesus, that is all. And it's not the way we like to live. How many of you like to live that way? No. We have all kinds of systems and plans. I'm not saying any of that's wrong. I hope to be able to retire one of these days and have a little something every day to meet our needs. Because I'm tired of working, especially this last week. I didn't feel good the entire week. I let my boss know last Saturday, that I wasn't feeling well. And the wonderful boss that he is, he never even responded. I just wanted him to be aware that I go to work at 4 a.m. and 4 a.m. Monday, I didn't want it to be a shock to him that I was calling in if I was. But of course I wasn't, because I don't know how. That's another story. But every day, just getting through. And if you trust in God, that's how you do it. This is how you do it. And so, what do we need to know in order to know that we know? We'll go back to that question. How do you know? When you're having that little question with yourself, that little conversation with yourself, how do you know that you have the Lord as your Savior? How do you know that? Luke, you had your hand up. Whosoever shall
Okay.
Lily. You believe the promises in the Bible. You believe the Word of God. Okay? There you go. The witness inside. Yeah, that's good. Those are all good answers. Great answers. But to me, I come down to, who am I trusting? Am I trusting me? Even my faith, my works? Am I trusting in that? Or am I trusting in Jesus Christ? Comes down to the end of the day, I think you have to know that you're trusting in Jesus Christ and His shed blood, His sacrifice on Calvary. If you can't say, I'm trusting in that, if you look to, well, I'm a good person, well, I was baptized, well, I do it. It all falls short. That's all our works. We go to a Baptist church, I believe, that after a person is saved, they should follow the Lord in believer's baptism, confess, testify to everybody that you've been saved, you've been crucified with Christ, and you've risen again to new life. And that's a good thing. But I wouldn't trust my salvation to that if I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I hadn't asked Him to forgive my sins and to come and abide with me and to help me through this life. It's a hard thing. When you're a kid, you don't think there's anything to life. Everything's just funny games. But as you all get older, things get a lot harder. And you need all the help you can get. But once you are saved, Mark 8:34, if you want to turn to Mark 8:34, there's more to it. There's always more to it. Mark 8, verse 34 says, and when He had called the people unto Him, with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Mark was a nice guy. That's how he put it. But now let's listen to what Luke had to say about it. Luke 9:23 says, and He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. We're saved, but we're saved to serve the Lord. There's a cross for each of us. And so, now that we're saved, there's service. And boy, this world and all of the tentacles that it has likes to wrap them around each and every one of us and pull us every which way except to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always something. I think the world system is designed to keep us serving the God of this world rather than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know how anybody else is feeling these days with our economy the way it is, with our fiat money. But boy, it just seems like that's all there is to life anymore, just trying to scratch out enough to get by. Luke's got a young family. I just got to support my wife and I. And I'm like, why is it so hard now? I think it's because the God of this world is trying to wrap us up and keep us busy with other things. So we need to be aware. Be aware that there's more to life than the things of this world. And I don't think there'll be any pastor that'll come up and say, I'm just overrun with people wanting to do things and help me out. I just don't think that pastor exists. I'm not saying there aren't some good churches out there, but I don't think there's a pastor in the world that has to say, oh, forget about it. Everything's good. I think there's always more that can be done, more to do. And we're looking at, I don't remember what he called our soul winning outreach. Grow. We're looking to grow. And it takes work. It takes time. It takes sometimes saying, well, I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what the Lord needs done. I know I'm a poor example because we had to go to pick up Bella last weekend from Colorado while you all were going out. I hated that. But sometimes that's the way things work out. But I mean, there's just a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done. And I know it would encourage the pastor's heart to have willing helpers, ready and able, wanting to do more as we go towards the return of Christ. I think we need to be doing more. We need to be assembling more. The Bible says, to assemble so much, that much more as you see the day approaching. And our tendency is, I'm too busy. I got other things to do. I'm tired. Well, we don't always know what's best for us, do we? The Bible says to assemble more as you see the day approaching, then you assemble more as you see the day approaching. And yeah, it's hard. But as we're figuring out in life, it is a hard life. But we have the Lord. Rely on Him for His strength. But if you can't have a conversation with yourself and come down to the conclusion that you know you're saved, that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's as simple as just going to Him. As it says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not might be if you're a good enough person. It says shall be saved. The book of 1 John, I almost went through it from chapter to chapter to chapter to see what he had written. But knowing that you know the Lord and you're trusting in Him will get you through. And when you get to heaven, We can look back and say, it was worth it all. Everything I went through, it was worth it all. And we realize how much Jesus suffered to pay the price. And how can we say, at this point, that's too much for me? Nothing's too much when you're looking at your Savior. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes in His Word. That's where you find Him. And one of these days, it won't be long. I just keep saying, I just feel like it will not be long until we see the Lord returning to catch us away. Say, it's over. So we need to grow. Why do we need to grow? So that others will know. Hear the gospel of Christ. Get them in here. Get them saved. Make a difference in our community. Gillette is a rough town. A lot of rough characters in this town. A lot of people with problems and addictions in this town. Nothing that the Word of God and the power of God can't take care of, one person at a time. Amen? Well, that's all I got. So I'm going to pray and we got a nice little break. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask, Lord, that you would bless the remainder of this day, Lord. The service is here. Be with Brother Richard as he speaks this morning. Be with the song service. Lord, may we do our best, Lord, to lift up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. And Lord, may we do even better as we go forth to live for you. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.